Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, we're here today to talk about initiation. October having 5 weeks this year, there were five interviews for this particular element, and I decided that I had something to say about initiations, and also more than that, just exploring some questions that are very important for us all, I believe. When my grandmother initiated me, she did this in what I would call a family fashion, which means that I didn't have a class, I didn't feel like I had conscious understanding of what the initiations were about. I could feel, because I had my eyes closed and that she didn't explain anything, that there was something that I wasn't supposed to talk about. And in the sense of it was never spoken that it was a secret, but because it wasn't spoken, it was secret. So there is this very interesting, you know, energy around initiation for me. And then when I first began to initiate first degree people with her and learned the initiations, I was astonished, because it seemed like for me that she treated the situation and the initiation as something very matter-of-fact. It was something that was a kind of like everyday experience for her. When people would talk to her about seeing colors, or having a sense that maybe they saw themselves in a past life, or some other extraordinary experience, she would often say, "Oh, fantasy," you know, bringing it back to our own experience and not allowing students to delve into the realm of what she might call fantasy, where for me at this point, I would call it a gift of our own spirit. And perhaps it is our fantasy, I have no idea. But for her, it was a practical, everyday understanding of the way that nature worked. It was a part of how nature worked. Which, in my own mind at the time, and I was 30 when I began my practice of initiation with her as a master, I had this idea that, you know, the initiation should be treated as very holy. And what that meant for me was to have a certain kind of dress, have a certain way of being. And I immediately went to a kind of image of the church, because it was the only place where I had experience of having this experience of spirit. I would say that this only has been clear for me as I look back on these experiences, not while I was having them in the moment. So I ended up wanting to have candles and music and beautiful places. And if I couldn't have a beautiful place inside, then I tried to get a beautiful place outside in nature. And that was a huge question in the beginning for masters after my grandmother died. Could we do initiations in nature? Would that be appropriate? Would it be secret enough? So that was an interesting question, which I resolved for myself in just feeling that nature was a place where I had my own spiritual experiences and felt very close to the spirit of the universe. And so I, you know, in my own reckoning, that was how I came to do many initiations in nature and not on the not inside a building. And, you know, this is a question that I would love to be able to ask my grandmother, what she thought about that. Would she have, would that be something that she would have done? But I never saw that in my own, in myself. For my own experience of her, she initiated inside a building. So I'd like to go back now and talk a little bit about my initiations, which were in some way unattended by conscious thought or by explanation. In my own understanding of initiation at this moment, what I feel is that part of the process of initiation is that the student comes prepared to be initiated, willing to be initiated, in consciousness. So how did my grandmother come to this place of initiating me, for instance, without this, or in any way, in my own understanding of this now, without this conscious choice of becoming a student of the system? And I have to say that there were a couple of factors that I don't have and that no one has really at this moment. My grandmother had a very intense and very profound experience as a student of Shujiro Hayashi. She spent a year in his presence, not just an hour or two in class, but all day treating, and then during the off hours, we should say, in his company, in his home, and perhaps receiving a kind of teaching even as they ate dinner or just lived together with the, you know, with his family. So that, and then her total devotion to Reiki from that moment gave her an opportunity to come to Reiki in a different way than I think that we do at some level, where we, you know, begin our Reiki experience, or you have begun your Reiki experience through an experience of a 12 to 15 hour class, or stretched over maybe a weekend or 4 days. This is a very different experience. So when my grandmother initiated me, I felt like she brought all of her preparation to bear on my initiation. And, you know, even though I was unconscious about it, I realize when I look back that Reiki altered my path, sometimes imperceptually through the years, but it did alter it and support it. What I feel really made a difference in my initiation is when I was initiated as a master. This came as more of a conscious decision, in that I had to decide whether or not I would travel with her, and whatever that meant. And now that word travel together feels very filled with lots of different ideas. But at the time, it wasn't. So when I started to take my training as a master, this particular process filled this part of my consciousness. So eventually what happened after about a year is that I realized, well, not even a year, after 6 months, I realized that I had to make this conscious decision myself. So I took myself off a year later after my initiation to go on an adventure for myself to find out whether or not this was a path that I really chose. And I feel that this happens even today. You know, sometimes because of different circumstances, people come to Reiki and are initiated for reasons of their own. And they might not think that this is an initiation for themselves, but eventually, in the course of their practice, they realize that they haven't taken Reiki just to support their aunt who has cancer, or to treat dogs in a pound because they have an affinity for animals, or to augment their duties as a nurse in a hospital. It becomes a path for the individual. So eventually, at some time during the practice of Reiki, maybe it's in the first days, maybe it's in the first minutes, maybe it's in the first years, the student actually understands that what they have been initiated into is for themselves, not in the service of others only, but in the service of themselves. And this creates for me, and my observation of myself and of other people, another level of understanding of what initiation is. So for me, it was just a weird experience that I had until I linked it together with my conscious choices. For some other people who I've observed and also had conversations with, they felt it to be a nice experience, something that was touched them very deeply, but they didn't see the application for themselves. They saw the application in their relationship with other people only. And it was, and it is the, you know, understanding finally when it comes to oneself that this is for me also. Or perhaps there's another level of understanding where this is really for me, and the treatments that I give to other people are a wonderful result of something that I've decided to do for myself. So this in and of itself can create and prepare an initiatory space that lasts not just for the few minutes that you're in the initiation room, but lasts over a period of time, sometimes over a period of years. Which is a very interesting take on initiation. When I looked on the web and looked in the dictionary for definition of initiation, there's a lot of different understandings of initiation, different levels, I would say, of initiation. One can be just simply introducing a new thought or a new community to the person. For instance, they also talked about initiation rites or hazing in the military, or in we call in the United States Greek fraternities or sororities in the universities. But these are kind of throwbacks, I believe, to the kind of initiation that took grueling physical, mental, and spiritual strength. These are a lot of the initiation, tribal initiation rites that we are familiar with through National Geographic, through documentaries, through the tribal process where men especially are asked to endure very physically challenging moments, especially during their puberty rites. And I think that the thing that I feel about this is that there is a connection between our physical body and our spirit body, and sometimes the way to get that connection is through pain. Now, this is a very interesting thing because, you know, in kind of the milieu in which I work, I feel that we're kind of devoted to eliminating pain in our lives. You know, that's something that is not wanted, and so we have all kinds of analgesics, painkillers, whether it be pills or acupuncture or massage or whatever. It's like, somebody do something to me to get rid of this pain. Whereas, you know, within Reiki, what I've realized is that pain is a messenger. I realized this very early on, that when I was treating somebody and they started to feel pain, then I could understand the process, or a little bit of the process of what was happening in their body. When I treated a place of pain, say their lower back, and I didn't have any kind of sensation, which I thought I would expect to have there with my hands, but I had lots of sensation, for instance, in the person's, you know, when I was treating the person's head, for instance, or when I was treating their abdomen, then I would understand that there is something else going on besides just the physical dysfunction of the back. So it was an interesting message for me. Now, of course, I've put myself in a situation through my journey with cancer to experience a different kind of pain, a pain that I've invited in myself. I'm basically, as the doctors say, I'm filling my body with toxin, and my body will get more and more toxic as I go along. And this was really fearful for me. I couldn't imagine why people would choose this. I have to say that, you know, in my reasoning or my feeling, sometimes I wonder if I've just convinced myself of something that I needed to do in order to create a way for me to be okay with what I'm doing, which probably is also part of it. But I believe that this process that I'm going through of chemotherapy and radiation and this whole process of having cancer is a kind of initiation. And I'm putting my body through a series of relatively threatening situations, though the pain has been fairly minimal at this time. It has the potential to become very unmanageable sometimes, and I'm interested in how this will play out and what is this initiation that I'm going through. So are people, as they are initiated, do we really know what we're doing? Do we really anticipate, and can we anticipate what this new life will be? Well, of course not. You know, it's nice to think that. And when I had first been initiated and then saw that other people chose to be initiated in Reiki, there was a part of me that thought, well, you know, I would have liked to have known what I was choosing. But, you know, over the next few years and talking to people about this, they would finally say, Phyllis, give it up. Because even though I thought, oh, I heard the word Reiki, I knew I wanted to do this, I was initiated, I had no idea what would happen in my life, and now all my expectations, some of them have been met, some of them have not, but I have received something that I had no idea about, that I received something that I couldn't have anticipated at all. And it was the same for me. So I had to give that part up, this part where I was different. Maybe the circumstances were a little different, but in initiation, the beginning of a new life is just that. We have no idea. We have no idea what we're going to be asked to give up from our old life. Maybe it's some of our friends. Maybe it's the way that we earn our money. Maybe it's a belief system about ourselves. Maybe it's a belief system about how the world works. Maybe it's our treasured wound, as we would say in therapy. Maybe it's a lot of things, but there are things that we have to give up in order to move on into our new life. And then we have this new life where we are beyond our imagination. So there's no idea about what our new life will be. So when people say to me now, well, where do you think Reiki is going to be in 10 years? Where do you think you're going to be in 10 years? Well, I have no idea. I have no idea really about next week. I only know that I will, buy groceries, hopefully live in the same house because I don't want to move right now. We'll be doing chemotherapy, obviously, for, many more weeks. I will be doing these things, but how I will take it in, what the messages will come to me, what my process, inner process will be, and what my outer journey will be, that I have no idea about. And, when we create this environment of safety for ourselves, what I feel like happens in our natural course of events is that as we mature and grow, we must, in fact, get to our next stage of understanding as a human being. So initiation, whether it comes from, and I will get back to this piece, from somebody else, or the initiation happens in our own life process naturally, it's still initiation. So let me go back to that. So in the beginning, what I learned from my grandmother was that this was an initiation that was kind of a technical thing, that we all had a connection to all these different energy waves. And what happened in the initiation is that people were given a kind of tuning. So the word attunement often came into this process with initiation. Well, let's see, where was I before the telephone rang? So in this process of having new life and being initiated by someone, there is this kind of, I think, assumption that the person doing the initiation actually knows what they're doing. And this is a part of this this adventure or this journey as a master that I have a lot of questions about. For instance, why is it that I don't actually know what I'm doing? Should somebody have told me? Could I actually be present in initiations if I knew rationally what was happening? And is there a rational explanation? So a lot of people try to go back to, quantum physics and try to piece it together. And there was a wonderful piece, I think in the first year that I was doing these interviews from a man named Martin Auerkirk, who was talking about initiation and what his idea of initiation was. So if you want to go back into the great archives of the radio show, you can find this particular interview. I found his understanding really interesting, and we all have, I think, as masters, an understanding of what we are actually doing in the initiation. Mine has changed. So I began with an understanding of this kind of technical place, but it felt so much different than what my mind said was technical. And finally, after about 7 years or 8 years, or actually more than that, it was in 1993, so I would say 13 years after I began initiating people, Paul Mitchell asked the question of a group of masters, well, what are we really doing? And when he asked that, he had this idea and drew this little drawing, which was very sweet and very simple, of what his idea of the initiation was according to my grandmother's picture and what his experience was. And the experience was something much more than attunement, but actually maybe that in itself, because we tend to treat technology as a kind of lesser than spirituality. Maybe it is as simple as this technical thing, but filled with all this other meaning. Well, that's another question. So I sense now, at that point, what occurred to me was that the feeling that I had was one of communion, one of being one with the person that I was initiating, and not only being one with them, but being one with everyone. So when I was studying and accumulating these bits of experience together, I talked a lot about the relative and the absolute universe. And for me, the relative universe is something that we live in. Everything is relative. Everything has relationship to each other. And what happens in our Reiki practice is that we bridge this other piece of ourselves which longs for and is drawn to the absolute universe where we are one, where we know and have the experience that we are one. We get this sometimes in a church when we pray together, when we sing our hymns, when we are silent together. Sometimes we don't have it in churches. Sometimes we have it out in nature where we're together with a person and have an amazing experience, or we are riding horses and we have this experience of communion with one's horse. I mean, there are all these different ways of coming to this absolute universe. And after the initiation, in first degree, what we receive is the ability to treat ourselves, to treat other people, and to create this experience of communion for ourselves, this place of being in the absolute, of being one with each other. And this experience will change our lives. It has to. I lived my life before 1979, basically with my belief being that we were all separate, totally unequal, and, you know, my place in the unequalness was pretty much at the bottom. And what happened to me as I kept having these experiences of being an initiation by being a master, by treating people, and by teaching, is that every experience that I had of being one, of being in the absolute universe, changed my life so that I became one. So that I have, even today, this part of me that is kind of the person at the bottom of the barrel. But when I when I go to that place, I see that we all have that experience. Maybe for some, it's only momentarily. And for others, it's a lifetime of feeling like being at the bottom. But that's our individual path. That's something that we're living with. But we also all have, whether it's a half a degree or for the most of our lives, we also have this understanding and experience of being one. We had that as we were being born. We had the experience of being one with our mother, and then the umbilical cord was cut, and our life as a relative person began. And it is, for me, our search, our journey back to the oneness through separation. And that is, for me, the part that is so fantastic about this experience of initiation for me, is that we are bridging for a moment, sometimes even unconsciously, this place of separate and oneness together. Well, how can that happen? It feels like they are opposites, but they're really not. Because in order to have oneness, we must also be separate. because if we weren't separate, then we wouldn't have this longing to be one. Does that make sense? So, you know, initiation is something that I feel has been really beautifully concocted by human beings through the millennia. I think from the very beginning of mankind, we've had initiation. Where has this come from? You know, when I was a kid, I thought maybe we came from outer space, you know, and I still have this little niggling thing, like, how did the Egyptians rise to this particular understanding of spirit and of otherworldliness and of, you know, these creatures that were half creature, half man, as we would call them, but maybe they were really creatures that they saw. Maybe they were the beings that brought humanness to this planet. You know, that's a question that I have had kind of out there now. But I was also learning about Darwin at the same time, so that was kind of confusing for me. But when I think about their understanding of initiation, when I think about the ancient Greeks, when I think about the possibility of Atlantis being an initiatory society, when I look at the ancient tribal history of initiation, it's like man has always had this question. Man has always had this quest. And we have created or perhaps been given the gift of initiation. Now, how can we learn to live with initiation? How can we produce a place where it fits into our modern society, which feels like we need to have explanation for everything? If we don't have explanation or we can't find a historical pathway, then it doesn't exist. So for me, one of the gifts of initiation at this time is to remind us that we do not have the capacity in our human mind right now to grok everything. And that in itself is a gift. We need, as human beings, to embrace this part of mystery. Because if we don't, then everything becomes mundane. Everything becomes relative. So the balance between the relative and the absolute is very interesting for me now. It's like, if I thought about how does my electricity get here, how is it that I can talk to people around the world through Skype, and how is it that I can send a distant treatment and the other person receives it physically, emotionally, and energetically. All of these things may have explanations. We might have an explanation, as people who understand electricity have explanation about how power comes through the lines and into my light bulb. But we're not there yet. This part, I believe, is the unknown. But is there an actual understanding of all of the mystery, like the mystery of how our human body works and contains itself and heals itself? Why is it that my body has all of a sudden in the last, say, year decided that I needed to have a lesson, and maybe it's only a function of my physical body that I put it into such a stressful situation that it ended up creating a cancerous tumor. And that these cells are my body's way of coping with the stress. And if I hadn't done that, I would have had something else happen to my organism and I wouldn't be alive right now. That's also possible. So in this, I take this physical doing of my body and transform it into something that becomes part of my mystery or part of my human lesson of bridging this gap between the relative and the absolute universe. A part of my understanding of becoming more spirit. Am I preparing for my death by doing this? Am I preparing for deeper understanding of initiation? Well, maybe. I mean, these are things and questions that I think about daily, actually, these days, and think that in opening my mind to the questions, the place of answer is also inside of me, but it also is inside of my experience of initiation. So even just speaking about it over this program is a wonderful way of my being able to revisit it all. As we move more into finding the explanation for things, or perhaps just manipulating nature, we need to, I think, be more conscious of the gift of mystery in our lives and to let go of our need to know how things work, but to welcome the gift of understanding. And for me, these are two very different places to come from. So the very first question that people often ask in a Reiki class is, wow, that initiation, what did you do to me? And what are you doing to me? And what's the purpose of them? And how are you doing it? Like, do you know what you're doing? And of course, most of the time, I have to say, I don't know. The other part of the time, I say, well, this is my theory, but I don't know, really. And my theory is that we are creating somehow this experience of communion in the initiation room. And that experience in our body awakens this part of us that knows that we are one. And we want to have another experience and another experience and another experience. So in order to do that, we are given the treatments. Why do initiations need to be secret? Well, this is a very interesting question. And why is it that we feel kind of intuitively that maybe we shouldn't talk about it, or that if our students ask too pointed a question, we feel offended because they should know automatically that these are secret initiatory rites? Well, you know, that's something that I feel is, for me, has been a mix. Like, at the beginning, it was kind of defensive because I didn't know, and I didn't want to say I didn't know, so I didn't like the questions because I didn't like the answers that would come from me. But then, finally, I got comfortable with the answer, I don't know, or this is my theory, and all the rest of it is mystery. To now welcoming the questions and exploring this in relationship and with my own students, and allowing them to see that mystery can be not only delved into, but also can remain secret in some respects. Early on in our teaching, Paul Mitchell and I really looked a lot at this word secret because we were really deeply into the personal development movement. And, you know, to have a secret meant that there was something bad, and that the way to get rid of secrets and the way to get rid of your kind of neuroses was to tell all. And we went through in the 1980s a kind of tell-all stage. And when we moved into the European communities, you know, the message that we got was, we are not Americans. You don't need to tell us everything because it's not necessary. And we don't even want to know. And what I realized at some point was that I was giving away my burdens to people by telling them everything about my secret self. And in doing this, I was not asking them if they wanted to carry it. I was just putting it on them. And I realized that, you know, this was a really a defense mechanism. So I have tried in the last decades to mitigate this by being clear that there's a private part of myself. In Reiki, there are private moments, very profound moments that I can say I have, but I'm not going to describe them to you, and I'm not going to bring them out for inspection or for saying, see, this is who I am. I can just, if asked, say, yes, I have very profound moments while I'm treating myself, while I'm just sitting sometimes in nature quietly. So these profound experiences, for instance, in the initiation room, are a part of the private self that we all must nurture. For me, this idea of tell all because secrets are bad is a figment of our modern society. It's because we have learned to hide things from each other that are necessary pieces of communication. Should we not be taught this particular pattern, then keeping a secret is something that does not have to do from withholding, but has to do with holding oneself. In tribal cultures, it was important for you to have this nucleus of your, what we might call your secret self, this place where you go, where you nurture yourself, and where people can see the result of that nurturing from the light in your eyes, from the wisdom of your words, from the kindness of your action, from the community of your thought. So secret in our society has been skewed. And the result of that is, for instance, like in France, where sex, S-E-C-T-S, are outlawed, something that's secret, because they feel that they must protect their citizens from these secret societies. But is Reiki one of these secret societies? Well, there's a lot of controversy about that in France right now. And part of it has to do with the initiation. How much mystery can we hold as human beings in our modern world? How much mystery can the governments hold in their in our modern world? I feel that we are coming closer and closer to giving up the understanding that human life is simply a mystery, and that in our governance of each other, this is also a mystery. Secret in the ancient ways is about keeping something sacred. Now, that doesn't mean that if they are left in the open, that something bad will happen. What it means is that in understanding initiation, in understanding rebirth, in understanding the trials and tribulations of passing from one life to another, there is a preparation time that human beings will need to go through. And I would say that this is a need. Otherwise, what can happen is, in extreme cases, madness. That the confusion of changing life can happen in such an abrupt way that there is a confusion in the mental state of someone and can create what we would call insanity. Now, insanity is not something that is about being locked up. It's about what I would, what a dear colleague of mine really early on said was holy confusion. Confusion is this space between two ways of being. And if someone doesn't have the preparation to enter this confused state, to handle their own confusion and to be open to a guide in this confusion, then the confusion can become unbearable. And this has happened with many people. And it has happened not because people have been thoughtless, but have been without thought, without the thought that an initiation can really make a difference. Well, whether you feel anything physically in the initiation room, whether you feel anything is happening in your life, there is something happening. The initiation is real. And I say this through my own experience of being a new master and feeling like, well, am I doing anything? To seeing that, lo and behold, even if I have this thought, that my students are being changed, that there is something truly happening. And over the years, I've seen that I have changed, that my life is changing, that I now talk about lots of different lifetimes in this particular 60 years, because I feel that I've gone through all these initiatory stages. These don't come now from another person. They come from within myself. And right now, this time that I have with cancer, with chemotherapy, with all this Reiki, is another part of my initiatory journey as a human being. I encourage you to look at your own lives in Reiki and to see the places of initiation for yourself, to welcome them, to prepare yourself, to reach out for a guide when you need one, and to be able to see that initiation is a vital part of being human. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.